God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He is good to us, regardless. We're slow to speak up for Him sometimes. But you know, all around you are fellow believers. You think sometimes, well, you know, here in church, we're just a few. You get out there in the world, you get into, like we were up at Kingwood yesterday, thousands of people there, you know. And you don't know who you're rubbing elbows with. But I'll guarantee you one thing, there's a lot of good peoples out there. There's a lot of good believing peoples out there. If you just open up and talk, you know. But so many times we stand side by side by somebody for an hour or two and never even consider, you know, who you are or this, that, and the other thing. Not me. First thing you know, I'm saying, hey, how are you, or something like that, and where are you from? And break the ice, you know, and the first thing you know, well, you got something in common. And people love it. They love to be recognized. And I like to do that. Anyhow, she gets after me. but that's all right. Good. But we have had a good week. Enjoyed it. Got out last weekend for a camping trip and had a good time. So. Everything looking good. And our congregation this morning, well, you know, I've been kind of concerned about it. And, well, very concerned about our church and the way we're headed. The job that I'm doing, the results that I'm having, and it seems like that it's a struggle. And it's going down, 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 down. But you know, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would give me some answers. And He says, yours. Yours is not to count numbers. Yours is to preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Regardless. You don't do the counting. Let Him do the counting. And you do your job. You take care of the rest. So we may get down to two or three, but you're going to hear it. It's just like the farmer that went out and this guy went to he was church. He went to church and there was just a couple or three there. And the preacher got up and he preached. He preached for an hour and a half and laid it on just as heavy. And when he got done, this one guy stood up and he said, man, that was a long sermon. He said, yes, it was, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart. Well, he said, I'm a farmer. And he said, when I go out to feed my cows and I take a truckload of feed out there, if one cow comes, I don't give them the whole load.
So, you couldn't get the whole load.
And no man openeth.
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the new name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, again, we thank you for the word that you have left us. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd open it up. Reveal unto us this morning, O God, the message that you would have us hear. Give us, O God, of the Spirit. Allow us, O God, here this morning just to commune with thee. In the name of Jesus we ask you. And amen.
Angel of the Church of Philadelphia. That's a little loud, isn't it? Let me drop that down there, Mike. Maybe that'll help. Is that better? Can you hear me now? Angel of the Church of Philadelphia. The angel of the church was the leader of the or the pastor of that church. That got the message from God. The seven churches of Asia was kind of in a circle, and they all got the message that John had written to them. The church of Philadelphia, was what? What does the word Philadelphia mean?
City of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love. Church of brotherly love. That was Philadelphia. That was the church of brotherly love. Most churches, he has commended them for the works that they do and the things that he done, but he also condemned that they were failing here or there or somewhere along the line or what happened. He would offer to them a fault that they might have, not Philadelphia. They were a church of love. And you know, love is the key to all things. So, they had the keys, as he says in the scripture. As he wrote to this church of Philadelphia, he firstly identified himself as to who he was. And he said, these are the same saying, he that is holy. He that is true. He that has the key of David. David has the key to the heart of God. This is what he was saying. That they was in communication. You know, Sidney mentioned something there this morning about losing her cell phone. Yep. Well, I'll bet you a quarter or less. Don't bet you nothing. But how important we put these sort of things. We store all our information in these little cell phones, numbers and all this, communications and all that. And when that comes up missing, it seems like we're just lost. It just blank. But let me tell you, losing communication with me doesn't mean a thing. Losing communication with your neighbors means very little. But losing communication with the Almighty God means it all. You lose your communication with Him, you are in trouble. It's worse than not being able to find out what I'm doing, or is he doing this, that, and the other thing. It's, God, what would you have me do? Yes. He was talking to this church in Philadelphia, and he was saying to them, yeah, I know thy works. And he said, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Ooh, open door. Open doors to the church meant that they had connections that they could lead a person to the Almighty God. We have an open door. That door is closed. Those two doors out there are closed. The basement door is closed. But anybody who wants to come in can open that door. Yeah, they can. We have an open door, an open line to God if we'll use it. They had it. They had it. We as a church here in Clarksburg, we have the way to the Almighty God. There's so many people out there that think they have a way, but that way that they're going, or whatever it is, that worship that they have is leading them into an eternal hell. Yes. They, as they go through their normal daily routines, it's a road of destruction. It's a road that's downhill that leads to an eternal death and damnation. Don't like to hear that, do you? But we have an open door to the Almighty God in heaven. Yes, if we'll use it. But you know, sometimes we fail. We don't want to go through that door. We'll go up to that door and stop. It's just like, I'll go so far, Lord, but I'm not going any further. Yes, I'll come and I'll fill your pew. I'll sit there and I'll do this and I'll listen to what that preacher says and I'll do this. But I'm not about to go close to that altar and confess my sins. I'm not about to do that because I don't think that I have to do that. I'm all right. Good. You're all right. You're beautiful. Fine. But let me tell you what. If we come up to the door and we refuse to go through it for a reason, that we're holding back, that we're not going all the way with Him, then we're in trouble. Because, you know, I think God tells every one of us what we need to do. He speaks to us in a very clear voice that we need what it is that we need even for the day. And if we don't follow it, we get into all kinds of troubles. But if we do follow after what God tells us to do, it may seem, well, I'm rattling now. Huh? I'm going to get there? I hope, or pretty soon I hope I get there. Point is that they had a church in Philadelphia that was right. It was right. It was not very big. And there was not too many people that, well, it's a little like us. He says, he opened his door, and he said that for thou hast a little strength. Did you ever feel like in your church that we're getting down to the point that it's hard? It's harder to preach to a small congregation than it is to a big one. It's harder to witness one-on-one than it is to a crowd of people. Yes, we can do that. But he said, you have a little strength.
that we have little strength, but it is strength. It is. Thou hast kept my word. Well, praise the Lord. We have not yielded to all these things that goes around that some of the other churches are doing. That's their business, not mine. But we have not brought in the world into this sanctuary that God has given us. We have not brought in some of the entertainment, we might say, some of the things of the world that will draw people. It will. But what will it do with, what will it do for those people? It will entertain them. It'll tickle their ears for a little while. And when they leave, it's gone. But let me tell you one thing right now. If you preach and if you teach the Word of God, the Holy Bible, it will last forever and beyond. Eternity. Yes. Something that you can get your teeth into. Something that you can really grasp a hold of. The Word of God. And it's the only thing that will stand. Yes, some of these people that they get into these cults and get into this devil worshiping and all these things that goes on out there today in the world, those things, yes, for a moment seem good. And that's the devil's way. He'll even take a little bit of scripture and use it just to get you to listen. Then comes his pictures, gets into you, and the first thing you know, you're hooked. There's so many people out there today that have allowed Satan to blind their eyes till they no longer can see. He says in the last verse, the last sentence in each of those letters, he that has an ear, let him hear. He's not talking about listening to the music or all this that goes on or all that clutter that we hear out there in the world. He's saying, listen with a spiritual ear. Hear it to the heart. The spiritual ear is connected to the heart. Yes. This church
in Philadelphia. Great church.
And he goes ahead and he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He's speaking of a time coming here shortly that will be a trial. But he said he's going to spare you from it. He's going to have you out of it. You're not going to go through it if you belong to the church of Jesus Christ. If your heart is made right with him, you will not go through tribulation. Amen? You will not go through tribulation. Lift it out. Call it out. Yes. This church, he said, you're not going to have to go through that. Many will, who say they are Jews and are not. They claim to be Christian and they're not. We have churches today that's full, and I hope there isn't any here. If there is, you better get it right. If you say you're a Christian, you best believe in Jesus Christ. Yes. The whole truth, not just part of it. This church in Philadelphia had a love for one another. Folks, there is no greater love than Christians has one for another. You suffer, you suffer, you suffer, we suffer. We all do. We're all in it. We're all one in Him. Yeah. But He said, behold, I come. Hold thou fast which thou hast.
He didn't say he was coming soon. He said, I come quickly. Read it. It's in your gospels. He says that when Jesus Christ returns, it's going to be bang, just like that. It's going to be quick. You won't have time to repent. You won't have time to come back to the church and run up to the altar and bow on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. You won't. He's gone. The church is gone. Just like that. Yeah. There's so many people out there today that believe. That believe this gospel. That believe that Christ is coming. They know it. But they're not ready. And they think that they're going to have a little warning. There'll be a siren go off. Well, it's a trumpet. They're going to hear this sound and then they'll be able to repent and turn to God. It don't work that way. When the trumpet sounds, the church is gone. And how fast? In the twinkling of an eye, I forget what, some 1/5 of a second or something like that, they say, well, I don't know, but it acts quick. They're gone. The church is out of here. And then all hell breaks loose. Yes, you think it's tough now. Wait till the church has been called out. The church is the only thing that's keeping this world where it's at today, that's not being completely obliterated today. Yes. The church is the only thing that's holding it together. Just a little while. We keep saying, Lord, just a little while. Give us just a little time. Did you ever say that? Did you ever say that? Lord, give us just a little time. Let us preach just a little bit more. Let us work just a little bit more. Why? Give us a little bit more time to procrastinate. Give us a little bit more time that we can say, Lord, well, I should have done this, I should have done that, but I didn't. Give us just a little bit more time. Because he will come quickly. Soon? Well, no man knows the day or the hour. No, a lot of people said they know about this or that or the other thing, made predictions, and it didn't come true. But we do know one thing for sure. All of the things that are leading up to Christ's second coming, the only thing that I can find that's missing right now is what? The sound of the trumpet. Yes. The sound of the trumpet is the only thing that's left. You could hear it at any moment. Are you ready to hear it? That's the question. Yes. Are you ready to hear the sound of that trumpet? Are you ready for that trumpet to sound? Is everybody in that you would like to see in? Is everybody safe that you'd like to see saved? Is all of your family ready to hear that trumpet? If not, why not? Can we truly stand before God and say that, Lord, I have done everything I can for my neighbor, for my family. I've done everything that I possibly can to see them saved. I have witnessed. I have done everything. I've been the good neighbor. I've done all this. Can we truly say that? Or will we have to say, no, I didn't do that, Lord. I guess maybe I'm a little bit at fault, but they didn't make it. Wow.
Prince Philadelphia is a loving church. But you know, down there in the conference, it says, a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go to Moab. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name.
We can go to these different all reunions, or even just here last week when we had the annual meeting here. The lady sat back at the desk back there and registered everybody. Tag on. Yeah. Put your name up there to identify you so everybody would know who you are. Yeah. But he says there, we're going to get a new name. He's going to have on that name. Let's look at that. He says, I will write on him the name of my God. You belong to God. Property of God. Property of God. And he says, and the name of the city, oh my God, is New Jerusalem. Address! New Jerusalem. Right on your tag, your name is going to say, property of God. City, New Jerusalem. And a new name right under that one. A new name that God will give unto each and every one of us. Wow. That name tags, folks, you know you won't want to tag. You know these ones we get here, you can't wait to get outside to get that thing off and throw it away. That one you'll keep forever. For eternity. Not that he don't know you, but to identify yourself as his own. You know what? The day you knelt at the altar of prayer and you said, Lord, take me as a sinner, that vile as can be, and make me new. Property of God. Property of God. New Jerusalem? In his time. A lot of people say that, you know, when people die, they go over there, all they're walking streets of gold, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're up there, they got all roses and just the finest of everything. Not yet. Waiting for that new Jerusalem to come down. You see, when that trumpet sounds, there's going to be a lot happening. There's going to be a lot. The church is going up, and the dead in Christ will rise with them, and that's the ones that are in the grave now, you know, they're waiting, their spirits. Yes, their spirits went on to be with the Lord, right? But this is something we can't even explain. We don't know about it at all. But we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be like unto him. Remember when he came out of the tomb and nobody knew him? He was a changed, a resurrected body. We will have a resurrected body, absolutely, to be joined together with the Spirit that's already there. And all of this is going to take place so fast that it's going to be... But we will go up into, and then that new Jerusalem coming down. That's where you find all the fineries, the streets of gold, and all this that we talk about now. Yes, but that's all going to happen so quick. You know, when we pass from this life, when we leave this life, if we die in Jesus Christ, if we have given ourselves to him, when we pass from this life until that sound that raises, joins together, I don't know, but how it works, will be just like that. No time, all these years that these folks have died before us, gone on, way back in there, just like that. Time is nothing. Yes. New name.
There's a song we sang in the choir
here, what, a week ago? New name written down in glory. And it's mine. Because I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Allow me, Father, to be one of yours. Property. No man can take it away. No, the door is open. No man can shut it. No man can keep you from coming to God. I don't care where you're at. No man. That door is open. The door is open this morning. This morning we'll be taking of the Holy Communion. I've been questioned sometimes about the way I do Holy Communion openly. It's not my decision. It's yours. If we examine ourselves, if we allow God to examine our heart and see if there's anything in there that would interfere with our serving Him, then we need to get rid of it. This morning, as an invitation, I would ask you, as we stand and sing our invitational number, examine your heart. Allow God to search us out. And above all, if there's any conviction,